Slavery is not something you might associate with modern Australia, but it's estimated there are around 1,900 victims of modern slavery in Australia at any one time. They're some of the 40 million people living in slavery globally. That's why the Modern Slavery Act was introduced in Australia in 2018. It requires Australian companies with revenue over $100 million a year to prepare annual modern slavery statements. And if you head online to modernslaveryregister.gov.au, as I did this morning, you'll see that 102 of those mandatory statements have been lodged, as well as 19 voluntary ones. Joining us to discuss the modern slavery statements is Vanessa Zimmerman, CEO of the business and human rights advisory firm Pillar 2. Vanessa's also a member of the government's Modern Slavery Expert Advisory Group, which advises Australian Border Force on implementing the Modern Slavery Act. Welcome to the program, Vanessa.
Hi, Julian. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. Just to sort of start with the basics, what is classed as modern slavery?
Sure. Modern slavery is essentially taking away another person's freedom so that they can be exploited. It includes situations where we might think of freedom being taken away more traditionally by force, but also other situations where freedom might have been taken away because of threats or deception. And it really covers a whole range of exploitative practices, from forced labour and human trafficking to debt bondage, where a worker might owe a debt to their employer that they have to work off, hazardous child labour, forced marriage and deceptive recruitment. So it's really a whole range of behaviours where essentially someone has lost their freedom. And it can exist here in Australia, as you've said, really in any country and in every sector.
As we heard, 102 companies have filed their modern slavery statements. That's mandatory for those countries. What information has to go into a modern slavery statement?
Sure. So the modern slavery statements really need to be able to tell people what the company is doing to assess and address its modern slavery risks, but also really to explain what modern slavery risks the company might have in the first place, both through its operations and its supply chain. So in terms of where it's buying from, as well as just the normal operations of the business.
Are you confident that that process actually creates change within the practices of the companies that have to report mandatorily?
I think it's not a silver bullet, but I think it is helping. It's definitely helping companies to understand that they might have modern slavery risks in the first place. So as you said, it's not often something we think about in relation to modern Australia or other really developed countries, but it does exist. It does happen, as I said, in every country and in every sector. So it's ensuring that companies are actually turning their minds to these issues. They're looking to see where their risks are, and they are explaining to people how they're going to manage those risks.
We heard that there's 102 of those reports on, on the website now. What happens if a company is supposed to file a mandatory modern slavery statement but doesn't?
At the moment, there are no penalties for not filing a modern slavery statement. But what we're seeing is that, particularly with some of the larger brands and listed companies, there's a lot of pressure from the market, from investors, from civil society organisations, from consumer groups, from customers themselves of the company, who are expecting these modern slavery statements to find their way onto the register and onto companies' websites as well. So even though there are no penalties at the moment for non-compliance, we do expect the market to be influencing companies to put their statements up.
So do you have a sense of how many modern slavery statements would have been expected? Like, does 102 suggest a higher level of compliance?
Sure. So at the moment, each company needs to report within 6 months of the end of their financial year. So not all of the statements will come up at once. But by the time we see the first cycle go through, we'll probably expect to see around 3,000 statements up on the government's register.
All right. So plenty more to come.
Really the first. Yeah, plenty more to come. So this is just the first tranche.
Right. Yeah. The Australian Border Force has put out a bit of a brief, a reporting update, which covers good practice trends in the reports that have come in so far and areas for improvement. Are there particular things that you would identify as areas for improvement from what you've seen already?
Sure. So with a couple of the statements, we're seeing some real strengths, I guess, in terms of companies explaining what policies they have in place, what structures they might have put in place within the company. But some of the areas for improvement are just really explaining what modern slavery risks the company actually has, especially in their supply chains. We're seeing quite a few companies explain how they're going to assess their risks, but not as much information on what those risks actually are. And really, for a consumer or an investor or a customer of a company, they will need to see where the company has those risks to understand if they're managing them properly.
I understand this kind of public register is a world first in terms of modern slavery. So how does Australia's response compare to the way other countries are managing this issue, and do you think it compares favourably?
It does compare favourably. We've seen some real progress in the Australian response. So it is, as you said, it's a world first for a government to be running a register like this, to be making sure that these statements are not only being produced but are then transparent and available and accessible to people. So that's a really great step. And we've also seen the Australian government do quite a lot of consultation and meaningful consultation with business, with civil society, with academics, with those who will actually use the statements. And that's been really good to see, because this is a new area for a lot of companies to deal with. So it's good to have seen that level of consultation and also support.
If consumers are concerned about this issue, what should they do?
Sure. So I think it's great if consumers could actually go onto the register and start looking at the statements of some of their favourite brands. We've already seen statements come online from some of Australia's most well-known brands like Woolies and Coles, BHP, Telstra, Medibank. And so it is possible to go onto the register and have a look at these statements. I think also we'll probably see consumer groups starting to take these statements and benchmark or rank companies. But really, when you're looking at the statements as a consumer, to look at whether the company that you're buying from or dealing with has actually identified their modern slavery risks, and whether you think that company is genuinely doing something to make sure that they're preventing and addressing any involvement they could have in modern slavery.
Vanessa Zimmerman, thanks very much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
Thanks very much.
And Vanessa is the CEO of Pillar 2, which is a human rights advisory firm for businesses, and she's a member of the government's Modern Slavery Expert Advisory Group.